Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story, Episode 3, Even Days.
Even Days. Right, and so we have our usual disclaimers and our usual caveats.
Which are the exact same thing. You always say that, and they're just synonyms. I'm sorry, I'm listening to a lot of our podcast recently of like re-listening to our Harry Potter, and you were like, caveats and disclaimers. I'm like, those are the same thing.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's a filler word. I apologize. So
you can keep doing it.
That includes that we will be likely cursing. We are going to have spoilers, possibly, not intentionally, but things happen. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having Mott's non-alcoholic apple cider with fall spices. It's pretty good. Ooh. It's basically apple juice with some cinnamon, but I mean, I like it and a little bit.
Hey, well,
I got it from Kroger. It's good. And I wanted something fall related. So, well, not that this episode has anything to do with fall. I just wanted that in my own life, but it's okay.
Apple is good.
For those who don't understand that reference, it's from Enchanted. It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Only not our family right understands.
But what I am having is a drink from the Regency cocktail book called Domestic Bliss. And this, I kind of liked. It does have gin, I know. But it is 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of raspberry liqueur, like Chambord, 1 ounce of ruby red port, and it's topped with champagne. And I really liked this. It's a little bit sweet, but not super sweet. It looks pretty in the glass. It's very red, and it's blissful, you know, because domestic bliss seems appropriate for this episode. Don't you agree?
To a certain degree, yes.
Yes. So let's get into the episode. We are going to continue the division that we previously had with the talking about things that are in the Bridgerton present, which would be the original timeline of Bridgerton, and things that are in the past that are kind of like Queen Charlotte's past.
Yes. So in the present timeline, it's Christmas, and Charlotte wants her daughters to try to find a husband rather than decorating a dollhouse. Okay.
I can kind of see that.
Also in the present, Lady Danbury finds Violet at a church lighting a candle because it's her husband Edmund's birthday, and she is sad because he's dead. And she also mentions all these little traditions that she can't do anymore with him, of like making a paper hat that her father also did with her. That, I know it sounds stupid, but it is an important factor later, kind of in an awful storyline. And so like he would make her paper hats for her birthdays. And since Edmund didn't get that as a child, not that I think he didn't have like a good childhood, but she wanted to like fill his like birthday with happy childishness. So she made paper hats for him. Not for her own children, I don't think. I don't know. I could be wrong.
But she does make them for her own children, because that's discussed later.
Right, got it. I was about to say, because she only mentions that she does it for Edmund, and I'm like, it's kind of where they're going.
In this conversation, yes.
And then Lady Danbury tells her that she's fortunate, and Violet's like, huh? That my husband's dead? Like, what are you talking about? I have eight children.
Yeah, I really was not sure why it is that Violet took such offense to that. I guess it was because, oh, your husband's dead. I wasn't really...
I think that the reason is she didn't understand that Lady Danbury didn't have a good relationship with her husband. And so she wouldn't really wish... it made her think that she was like, oh, you're fortunate that your husband's dead, or something like that, because that's how Lady Danbury kind of feels about her own husband. But I think Violet was just like, I would rather have spent all these years with him rather than without him. I mean, come on, like, are you kidding? I think she was really emotional about all of this stuff, and she thought it was impertinent. And then also later on, Violet was trying to ignore Lady Danbury, but Lady Danbury was like, no, I'm sending a coach and several footmen to make sure you come and have tea with me. And she Agatha basically tells her that her husband sucked and that they get something stronger than tea.
Yeah, basically. I don't know, but it's not the most compelling storyline in this show, in my opinion.
Also, with there was another thing with Charlotte in the present.
Yes, I was going to talk about that.
Go ahead.
Queen Charlotte asks Brimsley why her girls aren't married. She's very concerned that, you know, there's something like inherently wrong with them. And what he says is that they've seen your life and they don't want to leave you alone. They don't want you to be alone in your life because you've seen you don't have your husband, really. You do, but you don't. And so they feel obligated to take care of her on some level. And so they are not marrying. He seems to think that they're not marrying for that reason.
I think there are other reasons, but sure.
I do too, but whatever. And then, you know, she feels very hurt by the idea that anybody feels sorry for her, and she orders Brimsley to put more gold on the Christmas tree.
Yeah, and to like stand in the corner and not look at her Blair Witch style. so yeah, that's the present timeline. Very riveting, I know. But the next episode has none of it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Sorry. Yeah, I know it's a framing device, but you know, the only part of that framing device that I like is right at the end. So
yeah, because it has nothing to do with anything we've been seeing. So in the past, they are preparing for George, all of the, like the coronation of both George and Charlotte as king and queen. Brimsley is looking for the king and runs into Reynolds in the cellar, and he's initially like, hey, why are you in the cellar? Are you cheating on me or something? And Reynolds is like, no, there's no one else. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Well, I think a lot of it is that Brimsley can see that Reynolds is lying to him, and he assumes that it's lying about their relationship, which is already a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a different secret that Reynolds is keeping, and he doesn't know that immediately.
Right. And then Brimsley, as he's leaving, because he's kind of like, not necessarily, his mind is not necessarily completely put at ease, but he is kind of convinced, all right, yeah, I know it's none of your business why I'm down here. And so he is leaving, and then he sees the door to the cellar open, and he sees George being examined by a strange doctor that's not the royal physician. And so he's like, hey, what's up with that? And Reynolds is like, you see nothing. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's not some sort of weird, mysterious thing. Okay.
Yeah, really. Honestly.
Yeah, but Brimsley kind of like tucks that away for later, like, oh, there's something wrong here. And that
right.
comes up later.
Yeah, and then we meet a young Violet, and her mother is racist. And she...
Yeah, what? But she doesn't look anything like adult Violet. I mean, the eye color difference makes me insane. It's kind of like
yeah.
the whole
yeah, Lily the blue eyes. You need the blue eyes to kind of work that with that.
Right, it's, just... right. It's like Lily's eyes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry,
part of our Harry Potter podcast. I'm on part one of that. Of Deathly Hallows, I'm on part one, and I just cannot wait for me just going off on a rant about how this child could have just put contacts in. Like, it's so upsetting. Anyway.
It is. It's so, upsetting to me in this context, too. So, here we go.
So, Violet is not racist, and she's like, but I think that they are equal. They are gentlemen. They are well-born. They went to Eton with Dad. I mean, like, they're all equal. Like, what's so
they
different
have,
about
some of them have more money than we do. What are you talking
some
about?
Some of them are from royal families in their own right. And they're just kind of like, but no, you have too many thoughts in your head. And Her mother's awful. Lady Ledger sucks ass. Not her husband's ass, apparently. But she definitely sucks.
That we know about.
Her husband... And her husband's really cool to a point until he isn't. And then, when I first watched this, I kind of liked Lord Ledger, especially in this episode. We'll see a little bit more of him later. But, later on in this episode, I like him. But then it gets weird. It gets awful. It gets bad. Anyway. And also, I would like to say, in the books, there's none of this. There is a mention of Lord Ledger briefly dancing with Lady Danbury at the ball later. But otherwise, there is nothing, not a mention of Lord Ledger. So, or Violet, or any of it. So, I like that about
I would
the
not
book.
have missed it. I would not have missed it. But here we are.
Anyway, and Violet is clearly a daddy's girl. She's just like, "Oh, dad, you're on my side. You're not racist, are you?" And he's like, "No, I'm not." And she's like, "Cool."
Yeah, she's totally daddy's girl.
Yes.
So Lady Danbury, we cut to Lady Danbury, and she is talking about how, her husband wants to host the first ball of the season. And Lady Danbury's like, they're not gonna let us do that, but that's a lot of work. Oh my God, this is gonna be all me. But so she goes to see the Dowager Princess because that's part of her job, I guess, now is spying. And the Dowager Princess seems surprised by Lady Danbury's report that, hey, things are going okay at
They're
Bucky's camp.
happy, but all of that is a bit of a front because at you see the bits of the coronation and then them like being on parade later, and they're smiling and he even kisses her on the balcony. It's a whole production, but as soon as the doors to Buckingham House are closed, he immediately like snatches his hand away from hers, and she snatches hers away from his, and they're like, "Get this crown off my head! I'm just not going to deal with you ever."
Right.
And
I
but
am
they
done.
do have an arrangement of on every even day, they will have sex to try to consummate, not even not consummate. They've already consummated, but to
To
conceive a
take an
child.
heir. Right.
And so, but they aren't really speaking otherwise. And they would.
Right. They're even like it's almost like a montage of, oh, it's an even day.
Oh.
And
They
then
try to
they're like
get out of it,
angry.
quote unquote. They're trying to get out of it, but then they really,
Yeah.
really love the sex and they love each
Yeah.
other. So
Yeah.
it's just kind of like, oh, we have to put up this front that we don't like each other for no reason. But it kind of reminds me of like just misunderstandings we've all had, like with our friends, not even with like a lover or anything, but like with friends where we're like, I feel like I should hate you right now, but like, why?
Right. Well, so I'm gonna act like I hate you, but I really don't hate you. Okay.
Exactly. It's very funny. It's one of my favorite things of this episode. Like her like coming in and being like, it's an even day, and then let me see what I wrote down. They decided they would have sex on even days. They would enjoy the sex but pretend not to. They argue a bit over petty stuff at the dinner table, and then Charlotte like is like, can you not breathe so loud? And he's just like, first of all, he's on the other side of the room.
The table, yeah.
Second, he comes up and is like, gets right up in her face, all Anthony Bridgerton like puts her
Yes.
his like hand under her chin and is like, do you want me to go? And then she's like,
Yes.
almost about to break. Then he starts to leave. She grabs his arm and is like, no. And then they start like making out. They're going to have sex in front of all the servants. They don't
On
care about the servants. They
the
don't
table, on
order
this.
them to leave.
Right, on this giant banquet table, and so like Brimsley and Reynolds are like, "Oh, let's move, let's go, let's
We
go,
have
let's
to get
go."
the Jameses out.
And then you hear like dishes fall on the floor and
Yeah,
just
but
all that
Brimsley and
stuff.
Reynolds are going strong because they're
Yep.
just, he's like, hey, can I cool down a bit in your room? And I'm like, no one's in
Yeah.
anywhere. Why are you like putting up a front and be like, hey, I'll meet you in your room in 15 minutes? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
it's like, it
Yeah.
doesn't matter. I find it funny. And then
It is right.
Charlotte comes in, is in, well, George is taking a bath, and Charlotte comes in and is just like, it's an even day. And then she's trying to like get her like dress off or like nightgown off.
Nightgown,
And
yeah.
he's having difficulty and he's like, just come in. And she's like, okay.
And
So
they have like wild passionate sex in the bathtub.
here's the thing I would like to say again on, about the book. In the book, there's a little bit of stuff about even days. Like there, it's like right after she overheard like the whole thing with the Dowager Princess. As far as I know, it's been like it was the same night maybe, and George is like trying to have sex with her, and then she's just like, hey, well, no, I don't really want to have sex with you right now. And then he's just like, well, what, why not? And she's just kind of deflecting. And then because she's like being passive aggressive, like she always is. And so they like, they're starting to, he's trying to distract her, and she's just like, no, how about this? On like even days, we'll do it. And he's like, you realize it's an even day today, right? And she's like, shit. And so they have sex. They have a little bit of a mini sex montage. It's not really a sex montage. They're just kind of like playing around and all that stuff. But then they don't have these little vignettes of like, I kind of wish they had little moments where they had like mini sex scenes throughout, because like they're, it's something that's missing of like their honeymoon period of like, even though they're like kind of being defensive, I kind of miss this period of them like arguing, but it not really meaning anything. It kind of skips ahead a bit in the book. So it, I don't know. I find it a little bit disappointing. I like the kind of passive aggressiveness, the pettiness of it all. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And then, so we see, Charlotte is being informed by Brimsley that she can, you know, the honeymoon's technically over. She can schedule stuff now. And she's like, well, I want to pick my own oranges. We don't, you know, so now do we like schedule parties and whatever? And it's explained to her that the king doesn't socialize. And she's still kind of like, why would that be? And Brimsley's like, well, it could have something to do with that weird doctor
that I saw in the cellar that one day. And then he's like, wait, I've said nothing. And she's like, no, what do you mean? What doctor? And then later on, Brimsley tells Reynolds about it after sex, because he wants to get sex in first. But
and Reynolds is like, how could you do this to me?
It's kind of reminiscent of like Antony telling Sienna, hey, I can't be with you anymore, like right after sex. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm rewatching Bridgerton right now with my roommate. It's a lot of fun. But shout like out to Sophie. What? Hi, Sophie. But it's just really funny, because you want to get what you want and then just be like, oh yeah, no, also I told this secret that you didn't want me to tell. And Reynolds is kind of pissed off, because it's like, hey, no, that was not your place to tell, and I'm the one taking care of it. Don't worry about it. And he deflects any of the questions and all that stuff, and he's just like, no, just leave it alone. So he's angry at him. Right. And then
so we cut to Charlotte, and Charlotte, they've just had sex, she and George, and she's like, so how's your health, you know? And she asks about why he was getting examined, and you can tell she's pissed about being lied to, right? There's a discussion about they had to examine me because, you know, coronation day. She's like, why aren't they examining me? Aren't they supposed to be like trying to find out if I'm having a baby or not? I mean, what, you know, why isn't the doctor looking at me? He's like, oh, well, just because. I mean, he doesn't have a good reason.
He doesn't have an answer. But yeah. And then she also reiterates the words she overheard of, we have to separate the misery or happiness of a great nation. And so he knows that she overheard now. And so that's not good. Yeah. The Dowager Princess asks about a baby, but there aren't any signs yet. She asks Lady Danbury about it. And then And then Agatha is like, oh, well, how about I do the first fall of the season, just to kind of kick things off and make this the great experiment kind of like get going. And the Dowager Princess is like, no, I don't want you to do that. And she's like, well, I'm your spy, so you kind of have to let me do it. And then she's like, yeah, you're kind of right. So
part of what happens is like she's still getting pushed to the side by the Dowager Princess, and she gets home and she's like, we need to send out invitations right now, so that, you know, we back them into a corner. Like this is gonna absolutely have to happen. And so she starts sending up invitations to, hey, this is gonna be the first fall of the season, it's gonna be at our house, blah 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 blah. And she starts prepping it, and so when the invitation gets to Lord Ledger's house, young Violet has a birthday hat on. Happy birthday, Violet. And the Ledgers talk about going to the Stanbury ball, and Mrs. Lady Ledger is awful about it.
But we can't go to the ball, they're not us or something. It's stupid. She's also really one of the queen's ladies in waiting, and Charlotte's also going to be meeting with the ladies in waiting, so which is next. Charlotte has a young Mozart, and I can't unhear the laugh now that I've seen Amadeus. Violet's mother is kind of ugly about like, oh, does she have no taste? He's from Salzburg. Ugh. And then it's just like, are you kidding? What?
Yeah. And Lady Danbury is like, oh, isn't, you know, young Mozart brilliant, you know,
and they're all like, yeah, yeah.
And
then Charlotte completely ignores them and watches George come back shirtless from the garden. And
we need a counter for George shirtless, because there's a lot of shirtless George, which I like. So, you know,
I can't do that. It's already too late. He's already been shirtless many times.
Oh, darn it.
Sorry. Well, okay. Once for the sex in the last episode, once now, several times, like three more for sex in this episode. There's more. I can't do it, yeah. Mom. I can't.
That's a lot.
I wasn't planning on it, so I just, sorry. Anyway. Then, but he looks good. He looks real good. And so no one is planning to attend the ball. She kind of finds that out from the other ladies in waiting. Kind of led by Lady Ledger. And then Charlotte goes to George after sex, and is just like, hey, why don't you know? Even not before, not even after sex. She's in his, she's waiting for him after he comes back from the garden. And she's just like, hey, why don't you socialize? Why don't you go out and do stuff that a king does? What do you do all day? And he's like, I'm in the garden. I'm a farmer. I like science. And then she's like, so you're Farmer George. And then she's like, I don't believe you. And so she goes to the garden and is like, oh, you guys plant vegetables here? Interesting. And then
are there medicinal herbs here?
And they're like, no. And it's like, all right.
Well, but what that is, when she asks about the medicinal herbs, I think she's still trying to figure out what is going on with this doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is the doctor like teaching him about herbology? Is there something,
She's just trying to figure it out. Yeah. And so the Dowager Princess is yelled at by Lord Bute for letting Lady Danbury send out invitations, which she didn't really have much control over. She can send out invitations if she wants. Okay. And then she's like, they basically want her to get Lady Danbury to cancel the ball. And she's just like, I don't know if she's going to like that.
Right. And so, but they're like, oh, happy wife, happy life. Government's going to grind to a halt unless you do this. And, you know, I keep thinking Lord Bute is a butt. it's one of those things. But Lady Danbury, you know, realizes that there's all this pushback. So she goes to visit Queen Charlotte early, before like all of the other ladies are going to get there. And instead of, you know, she, you know, Queen Charlotte wants to discuss George and gardening and all the stuff going on with him. Lady Danbury then is like, you know, trying to get to what she wants to get to, which is, look, we've got this great experiment going on. You need to let everybody in. Your palace walls are too high. And, you know, you need to lower them and let people in. You know, basically, you need to have some social stuff going on here, and you need to, you know, kind of get on board with this great experiment business, because we're the first of our kind and this is important. We then go on to the orangery, where Charlotte finds out that all of the attendants who used to pick her oranges got dismissed because Brimsley was like, look, you want to pick your own oranges, so we got rid of everybody. And she's like, hey.
That's not really what I wanted, but okay. And then Brimsley and Reynolds are about to sorry, I skipped ahead a little bit. Charlotte is like, it's an even day, and so she goes into George's room, and Brimsley and Reynolds are outside standing at attention the entire time, in more ways than one, I imagine. But they're standing there, and Brimsley kind of scoots towards Reynolds and is trying to, like, I don't know, hold hands a little bit, like at least brush hands, that kind of thing, cute things like that. But Reynolds is kind of pissed at him right now, and so he kind of pulls his hand away, and it broke my heart when I saw that this time. I was like, oh, just hold his hand, dude.
And then Reynolds realizes, I want to hold his hand,
so I'm standing at attention, I want to hold his hand. And so they do end up holding hands. It's really cute. On this rewatch, I'm really loving Brimsley and Reynolds even more. Like, they're just so freaking cute.
The actors are doing a great job with this. It's really good. It's really good.
They're so cute. Anyway, then Charlotte talks to George about how she understands how exhausting and lonely his life can be. And he says, yeah, no, in the garden, I'm just a regular guy. Like, that's one of the only times where I'm kind of, I feel like that. And it kind of reminded me of The Crown when, like, she, when Elizabeth was talking about how she just wants to be a simple Christian and not like the head of the church all the time. She just wants to be like a member of a parish or like a member of a congregation. She doesn't want to be the head of anything at the moment. She just wants to be her. And George feels the same way when he's in the garden. And so she proposes, let's just get rid of even days and odd days. And he's just like, let's just have days. It's so cute.
Like, I like a lot of how this is phrased, though, because she talks to him and, you know, she says, you must feel caged. You're always, he's like, well, I'm always an exhibit. I'm not a person. And she says, you can be a person with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want you to be a person with me. And they kiss and there's, you know, they propose the just days thing. And he's like, okay.
And she also reiterates their palace walls are too high. And also she's like, hey, I know I shouldn't really ask a favor, but I do have to ask one of you right now. And we cannot kind of figure out where this is coming. So Lady Danbury is getting ready for the ball. She has everything prepared. She's very excited. And so the Ledgers are the first to show up, actually. And Lord Ledger mentions, oh, yeah, no, my wife tried to get out of it. But once we got like a notice from the king that he was going to be there, we had to be here. Right. And so they know that the king's coming, as well as the queen, you can assume. And
the Dowager Princess shows up.
Well, no, first, I want to say Lord Ledger says he wants to be friends with Agatha and invites Lord Danbury to one of his hunts. So he's making a good first move of, I'm going to help you integate a bit more into society a bit more gracefully.
Right.
And let it not be a little bit, let it not be too, like, crazy. But, and again, I like the guy and I like that this is happening, but there's stuff later on I just can't get past. Dowager Princess shows up.
Right. So the Dowager Princess shows up. She sees that the people aren't mingling and there are concerns about it. Right at that point, George and Charlotte show up and they look amazing. And they dance. And, you know, this
the
is
song. The song is If I Ain't Got You.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's the two cellos version of, and I love how Bridgerton does this. Like, they have the classical cover of a lot of these pop songs. And going forward in this series, you get some more of those that I really liked. And it's really sweet. Yeah.
So Charlotte and George dance, and then Lord Ledger asks Agatha to dance and allow the sides to mingle. The dance is great. And then there's this really cute line that George has to Charlotte. Charlotte says, thank you for coming with me. And he says, you never have to thank me, we're a team. It's so cute.
Oh, they're so sweet together. We see that Lord Danbury is really ecstatic about the success of the ball. And
he's like, I'm a success. And I said, ew.
Like, you did all this work. You actually did nothing. But fine.
And so, the thing is, Agatha was even being like, we're a success. And then he's like, I am a success. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And he's like, let's celebrate, darling. And it's like, I don't care. Just don't. I don't want to see it again. Anyway, then George, we go over to George and Charlotte. George is really proud of Charlotte and their accomplishments. And he picks her up and takes her to get something to eat and then to his room immediately. It's so cute.
Oh, they are so good. She's like, we have created so much change and it's just so great. And makes him hot and hotter. Yes.
Late Lord Danbury has a heart attack in the middle of sex. And then Lady Danbury tells Coral, and they're very excited that they're done. They fake finding the body, even though it's not like they murdered him. It's just like his libido gave out or something. I don't know. No, it's his heart. We go back over to Charlotte and George, and Charlotte wakes up alone and she hears some muttering and some scraping, and she finds George in the middle of one of his big fits that we find out more about later. And he's writing on the walls. He's wandering around the castle. He gets naked and starts yelling at the sky for Venus, and Reynolds has to intervene, and you can tell that him and Brimsley have just like gotten done. And great timing, dude. And then he's like, Brimsley, keep watch. And so Reynolds has to like come in and like has like a blanket for him to like cover up and stuff like that. And Charlotte's actually the one who's able to kind of like talk him down and be like, no, I am Venus. I'm here. Don't worry. I'm going inside. Do you want to come inside with me? She's very calm, surprisingly. Yes. And so they get him back inside. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very calm. And I like how she figures out what's going on very, very quickly. And she steps in and he's like, Venus goes inside. She's like, yeah, yeah, that's what happens. Come with me. And Reynolds realizes, you know, that she
could be good for him.
Right. She could be good for him and that she's able to handle what she's seeing. Like she's not going to freak out and run away kind of thing, which of course has been George's concern too.
Right.
So what were your best parts?
Oh, quite a few. I have the costumes, obviously. That's always going to be a best part for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sex and funny arguments, top notch. Agatha talking sense into Charlotte about like, hey, she basically says, oh yeah, these tiles are new and we need to keep them and you are a big part of that. So please don't let this fail. Brimsley and Reynolds, again, like I liked them the first time, but I really liked them this time. Charlotte and George going to the ball, Lord Ledger for now, and Charlotte helping George. It's very sweet that she's able to like get immediately change gears and just be like, all right, I'm going to help you now. It's fine. She is shocked, but she's able to like help him out to like just get him on the right track, which is very. What about you? Yeah.
So my favorite parts are pretty similar. I think a lot of it, you know, obviously the costumes are always great, but I felt like George's and Charlotte's performances were really, really good. I mean, I'd like the dialogue, but I think the performances were really excellent. I love Lady Danbury working the system, you know, and that's multiple angles. It's not just Charlotte. It's also working with the Dowager Princess. I like that the Dowager Princess is happy to see her son happy. You know, it makes her a little more human because otherwise.
Yeah, the ball.
Yeah. So those were my best parts. What were your worst parts?
Violet's racist mother, Lord Danbury sex.
Yeah. So my worst parts are the present timeline, Violet getting angry with Lady Danbury.
Oh my God. I forgot the present timeline. Yeah. Present timeline.
Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. The entirety of the present timeline is useless to me, but that particularly bothered me. Lord Danbury in general, and kind of happy he's dead. I don't like when Brimsley and Reynolds are fighting.
I don't like it when they're fighting either.
So I didn't like that part very
much. You can understand him being a bit defensive at first, but we'll find out more next episode about what's going on there.
So how did you grade this episode?
I gave it an A-. I think it's probably the best so far. I think it has the most substance in it that I enjoyed. Fewer montages, but the montages we do have at least have some dialogue in it, so it's not like just music.
Right.
Like, the dancing has a little bit more substance to it as well, so it's, again, not just useless filler.
Yeah, no.
So I feel like it just didn't waste its time.
I agree. I gave it an A- also. There were a lot of good things about this episode. It's not like an amazing episode. I think there's some of that to come, but it's a really good episode and it definitely shows a lot of promise. I want to point out too, that like when we first started watching this, I was very skeptical about whether I even wanted to watch it. You were kind of like, oh, well, maybe we should. And I'm like, oh, it's so stupid. Cause I was very book snobbish and like Queen Charlotte's on the book, that kind of thing. And I feel like where Bridgerton has departed from the books has been weak on the Bridgerton show. And so I was worried about like, would the writing make any sense, you know, all of that stuff. But I really love what they've done with this storyline. I think they've done a really good job with it. So.
And it's very funny that even though both Shonda Rhimes and Julia Quinn worked on the book together, it can be quite different from the show as well. And I kind of like that. It makes me like the book better. But I mean, it's interesting, and you get a little bit more of an expansion of the world. Like, again, you get to see his point of view more often You get to see Brimsley's point of view, a little bit of Lady Danbury's point of view, none of Violet, because Violet doesn't need to be here. And yeah, it generally it's a little bit more focused to me. I think the present timeline certainly weighs it down a bit until the end. So it just, I understand having the whole thing of, oh yeah, no, the heir is, we need an heir. And it's kind of reflecting what was going on with Charlotte's life before. We need an heir. But it doesn't play that much of a role other than, hey, how do I match make my own children? And I don't care. And then the Violet and Lady Danbury BS that happens later, I don't care. I like both of these characters individually and together. Why did they have to do this? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me, and you know, maybe they're trying to humanize them. We're going to talk about that more.
They're fun the way they were.
They were. And I kind of, well, okay, we're going to talk about that more as we go on. But yeah, I'm kind of, you know, about.
But we'll get to that later. Next episode, we don't have to deal with them.
Yay. So fantastic. We are looking forward to sharing the next episode with you all. And I would point out that we are going to be going on to the downslope of Queen Charlotte, because there are only six episodes. So it's pretty exciting. We hope that you join us. We hope you mix up one of these cool drinks. And if you come up with something that would be a better match for what we're doing, you need to tell us. We hope you join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.